sounds good. All right. Well, welcome, committee. Thank you all for joining today's call. Greatly appreciate it. This is obviously a special committee meeting because we have to talk about a problematic situation that has been observed with one of our operations, and I think we need to make a determination of the future of that operation. So I do thank you guys for joining today's call. We'll start with the attendance, and I will start with the agency. I, myself, Tyrell Sampson, is present. Zachary Moore, are you present?
I am here.
Okay. Nick Fayenza, are you present?
Present.
Chairman Frank Roberts?
Present.
Vice Chairman Brandy Altogat?
Present.
Keith Haley?
Here.
Amos Fatorma?
Here.
Shelley McDermott? Carmela Ferreira?
Here.
Rich Braccia? Alternate Dave Pelagi? Alternate Angel Torres?
I'm here.
All right. That's good. All right. Thank you. So we have obviously one item on today's agenda. We can only talk about this item since this is a special committee meeting. So let's get right into it. Manchester Community College. Obviously, for many, you all know this is one of our latest takeovers as a program, and as of 2020, in fact. You know, we obviously took this location optimistic, did our research prior to the takeover, was just kind of obtaining the necessary financial documentation and information from the prior operator to feel comfortable enough, I would say, to take this college as an opportunity under our program. Shortly after taking this location in 2020, I believe Brandy started in January, I would suspect early January, we identified some things that I would say weren't really in line with what we anticipated, and I'm kind of going to give you guys just some history about it, right? And Brandy, obviously, you being on the call, Nick, you being on the call, you know, you guys can certainly chime in if I'm misspeaking or stating anything that may not be true to what I think we observed. So we took this location on early on and observed early on some challenges. One of them being the pricing in which we negotiated going into the operation, in which, you know, obviously Ed Owens, prior supervisor, kind of, you know, worked on this MOU agreement to kind of get it to the position in which we thought at the time financially those items that we were going to sell or were selling made sense financially as far as the pricing. We thought that initially it was a little low, so we used a manner, and I say we as a program, and we kind of did a general percentage increase across the board. We didn't kind of itemize anything. We just took a standard percentage, and I don't recall the percentage offhand. I don't know if it was 3.5%. Okay, I was going to say 4. So 3.5%. Okay. So 3.5% across the board. And again, at that time, it was the thought that that would suffice, basically. Just doing it that way then versus itemizing was the better approach. Okay. So we get into action, and quickly we identified that our pricing apparently was too low. And so the information that we were given at the time, and obviously it wasn't mandated or required, it was provided, may not have actually aligned with what was actually being ran through the register. So let's for say, you know, we got an agreement on paper that says, and I'm just throwing these samples out, let's say burgers were $3, but in fact, on the tail end of the prior operator, they were actually selling that burger for $3.50. But we had documentation that said $3, so what do? We take the 3.5% and we just put it on top of the $3, and that's our increase. So we've kind of identified early on that the pricing was not in line. Then following that shortly, we had a major hiccup as the refrigeration unit, the walk-in refrigeration unit, was bad. It was... It had excess amounts of mold, and required immediate shutdown, forcing us to kind of adjust our approach and our expected offerings, you know, quickly to allow us to remain operational. So, you know, we brought that to the college's attention, and they were, you know, gracious enough to identify that this was a serious situation, and in turn, you know, fast forward, they actually purchased a brand new unit, corrected the issue, and just purchased an entire unit. However, for the short period in which we operated, you know, we weren't able to use that, it, essentially not being able to offer entrees. Is that correct, Brandy?
Yeah, we couldn't offer entrees, we couldn't use the salad bar. We couldn't have certain items. She restricted me from being able to make, like, I couldn't even make boiled eggs. It was because I couldn't cool things properly because I didn't have a walk-in refrigerator, so I was very limited, and I had to buy, like, pre-cooked chicken. I had to buy fresh, I couldn't buy frozen burgers because I didn't have the space to store things, and she had limited my menu. So that also increased the pricing, my phrase cost, because I had to buy items that I wasn't expecting to have to buy to compensate for not having proper refrigeration.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So yeah, so obviously Brandy, you know, had to modify business to essentially continue to meet the needs or the expectations in which the college had. And we did that, okay? And we did that. And so fast forward, obviously COVID came quickly, swiftly, and in turn, put us on an immediate shutdown. So, I mean, there really just isn't anything really in between this little minimal summary that I just gave you all. But I would like to tie some numbers to that. So, looking at Brandy's numbers and essentially removing that last week she operated before the COVID official shutdown, the average weekly gross sales was roughly $10,500 a week. And so it was, I mean, it was decent. I mean, it was, you know, it was good, I would say. But, you know, again, even then, when we looked at the numbers, the overall profitability just was not in line with what we expected. In addition, and Brandy, stop me if you mind if I share numbers. Do you mind? Because I won't.
No, that's fine. Please, because I think it's relevant to the decision process.
Okay, all right, so I don't have the number right in front of me, Brandy, you may know, but what was your initial inventory responsibility, the initial?
$20,000.
$20,000,
that's what I thought,
okay. $20,000, yeah. Okay, so Brandy took on $20,000 of initial inventory, and the game plan, correct me if I'm wrong, Brandy, was that you were going to essentially take the commissions in which, you know, we had gotten, we were able to see what the prior commissions were and thought they were pretty, you know, substantial for commissions out of vending machines. So it was your plan to essentially either take all or a generous portion out of your commissions in which you were going to receive quarterly to pay down your initial inventory.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So
I wanted to take the full commission.
Okay, full commissions. Okay. So, you know, obviously going in, and my point to this is there was a plan. You know, Brandy had a plan. It was sound. Obviously, the field reps, Ed, us as an administration, we had looked at everything and felt pretty comfortable with that plan of action, and it appeared to be a profitable situation. Okay, so COVID comes now and essentially shuts everything down. Okay, so now it leaves Brandy, fast forward, with about $10,000 of lost inventory. Okay. At that time, there was really no, we didn't know anything as to any possible reimbursement. We just knew that Brandy lost about $10,000 of inventory. Now, we may not have known that number at that time, but obviously, fast forward, we got to that number. But anyhow, she lost everything. So now what do? As everyone, it put COVID pretty much put everything as a complete shutdown, and we waited out. You know, essentially the plan of action was let's wait it out until there is a viable business opportunity. During our time of waiting, in which, you know, at the point where we were able to start to resume in some capacity, the college was set to reopen, you know, the college came to us And I would say, you know, in the position of the expectation of us resuming a cafeteria, you know, I think we fought pretty well to say, it's definitely not an opportunity at this time to operate a cafeteria. So we offered fresh food vending machines for that next semester period, because we were certain that it just was not enough population at that time to warrant the resumption. So the college was acceptable to that offer, and in addition, we also offered to the college a temporary waiver allowance to utilize food trucks. And I don't believe they had any luck, or I'm not even sure if they tried, but for some reason I think they did, but they just didn't get anyone to bite at the opportunity. So we placed the fresh food vending machines, and that did not do well at all. In fact, before we were able to even pull out on our own determination, Servomation Vending, who was gracious enough to provide that, knowing that this was obviously not an ideal situation, you know, reached out to us premature to our data, thinking that we were going to need to satisfy, and said, we got to pull out. It was just a dog. So we pulled out, and fast forward, we come up to the fall semester. And now, here's the period where the college approaches us, wanting us to come up with a plan of action as to how we're looking to resume. And I recall, and again, Brandy and Nick is on the call, so they can correct me, but at that time when they reached out to us, there was a lot of apprehension on resuming, if I'm not mistaken. I know I had it. Brandy certainly had it. Nick obviously saw it for what it was, and there was apprehension across the board. So, you know, we discussed that. We relayed that message to the college that, you know, we didn't think that there was going to be a viable opportunity. Back and forth emails occurred, and, we essentially got, and we also had a teleconference where we got the reassurance, I would say, that there was going to be a population resuming at the college that would support the need for a cafeteria. Now, would it be the need for both sides of the cafeteria? So just to let you all know, there's two sides. There's a smaller deli-style option, and then there's the primary cafeteria. So we were able to, you know, stand firm on the fact that we definitely were not going to operate both sides. If anything, we were going to give, obviously, the cafeteria side a shot. Again, very apprehensive to resuming. However, with the confirmation that there was going to be a substantial amount of people to warrant, we got an email that stated that there was to be 95% of the students returning to the max capacity of class. Now, let me be clear. When I double back and triple checked on that email and that verbiage, it doesn't really truly make sense to what that number means, because we all knew that there was going to be a continuation of online classes during that semester. However, 95% of the classes that are being offered, they anticipated, and again, you can't really expect more from the college than what they have in front of them. And without enrollment occurring, they can only do their best job of utilizing estimates. So their estimate was any class that they offered, there was going to be 95% of the students taking a class, essentially. In addition, there was going to be staff and faculty, or staff and maintenance, I think, combined, totaling about 185 individuals on campus daily on top of that. In addition to that, they confirmed there's a high school that's actually on campus, and that 100% of the high school students were to return in the fall as well. So, and a daycare, but the daycare doesn't really shake the profitability too much. It's more or less a convenience factor, so we're not going to really factor that in. But anyhow, so up to resuming in fall, it sounded like, okay, there is what we did not expect, you know, obviously 100% return, but there's definitely the confirmation that there's going to be 1,000 plus campus students, because that's what that 95% class limit estimate came out to. The information they gave us averaged out to be about 1,000 students we were expected to see a day on campus. Now, obviously, we don't know their eating habits and so forth, so, but statistically, I would say it's pretty easy to assume that you're going to get at least 20 to 25% of that business, of that, you know, of that population, right? So essentially, 200, 250 people you would think you would get, just been looking at numbers probably for my last 15 years in the program, I think I kind of have a gauge of what we should expect. So, so it sounds promising. Fast forward, we get in. Brandy does everything she's supposed to do as far as aligning her business to support the population in which we anticipate. Brandy hires, you know, we worked on the menu. I think we did a great job with adjusting the pricing to where it needed to be during COVID. As many of you know, food costs has risen about 10-15%, and I think we did a good job adjusting our menu and you know, and as well as staffing to position Brandy to essentially not take any loss. Upon resuming Brandy, the operation, we immediately noticed that there just wasn't the volume in which we expected and anticipated. I think we moved quickly, Brandy moved quickly to at least bring the attention that we needed to modify the operational hours and days, and we were able to do that. But, you know, it just always felt like during this time that we just did not get the college's support, in the sense that they just were not acknowledging our, how can I put it, our concerns and the viability in the operation. Nick did a wonderful job, and he does a wonderful job, updating the college on a weekly basis, giving the daily sales numbers, or maybe weekly, weekly sales numbers to the college administration, and in turn, identifying the concerns, the operational concerns that we have with just some of the things that the college is responsible for, such as prior to resuming, we were told that the student, or I guess you want to say the seating area, the food seating area was going to be cleared up. Before we started, the college is doing some sort of renovation or updating to their lighting system. So they have a few electricians in, and unfortunately, they're housing all of their equipment in the seating area, the dining seating area. So we were reassured that that was all going to be removed prior to resumption. However, that was not the case, and there was a lot of emails requesting this. And I'm not even sure. Is it gone, guys? I'm not sure.
No, it's completely still filled. They're going to be there until the end of the year.
Oh, okay. So I didn't even remember.
Nothing has been done. No one has ever addressed the issue with us. We get, okay. Oh, yes, no worries. There's nothing I can do.
Okay. So, unfortunately, as you all know, businesses don't offer inside dining if they didn't think it was, appealing to their business opportunity. So, you know, dining seating not being available does affect business. It does. So, essentially, that's never been rectified. There's other issues that were identified that kind of took multiple emails for follow-up. And again, I'm not bashing the college in any capacity. I'm just stating facts here. So, each week, Brandy is identifying that there just isn't the numbers that we need to essentially profit. I mean, Brandy's being able to support her staff and paying their weekly payroll, and Brandy said I can share, but to date, and it might be slightly off because it doesn't factor all the way up to just last week, Brandy is roughly making, prior to last week, again, it may be slightly different, $31.73 a week. That is Brandy's profit. Okay, we may be able to round it to 50 because I believe she did just receive a catering payment or somehow. So she's making that, and she's hung in there. She's done everything she's supposed to do, and Brandy essentially does not want to resume. I don't see anything wrong with that. As to date, unfortunately, when factoring that Brandy still owes the agency roughly about $12,000 in initial inventory, and she utilized vocational rehabilitation's assistance in getting her her replenishment of inventory, which was about $7,195. And to date, her profit was about $317. You know, when Voc Rehab assisted Brandy with the replenishment of her stock, it's the mindset that boost that does not come out of your pocket should immediately be your profit. I mean, because you're not coming out of your pocket. So $317 isn't even really a true profit, because all in all, you can essentially say Brandy's negative $18,878. This does not appear to be an opportunity that is ideal for our program. This does not appear to be a service that is needed at the college. You know, when I look at the overall averages, and keep in mind, pre-COVID, she was averaging $10,500. Right now, she's averaging $2,600. That's essentially 25% of what she was doing pre-COVID, in which at that time, we kind of had slight concerns on the expectations that we went in with. So, I would, and again, I'm not a mind reader, and I don't know what the future holds. But I do believe that the online classes will resume forever in some capacity. Now, I don't know how many classes, but I essentially have to believe that there has to be some benefit, or the college has to have seen some benefit with the online classes. I could be wrong, but let's say I'm not wrong. Well, let's say I am wrong. Based off the numbers that we see today, she's operating at 25%. I would say that if COVID restrictions were removed, you might jump back up to maybe 50%, essentially 75. I don't believe you'll ever get to the 100%. I just don't. And I think you would need to be pre-COVID for this to be, and I'm not going to say a substantial opportunity, I'm going to say decent. Based off of what we saw in a short period of time, I'm thinking it would just be a decent opportunity. But then, back with what we saw then, you didn't have what you're going to need going forward, and that's going to be, you're going to need to pay people a decent wage to get quality people. You're going to have to, you know, potentially anticipate increasing pricing again if this food, if the food prices do not, you know, level off at some point. So I think, you know, it's more or less not a viable opportunity anytime soon. I could be wrong. I mean, like I said, COVID restrictions could be off next year, and boom, it's viable. However, we're not in the business of let's just hold on and pass along something that's not viable to the next person to affect their lives. So, with that being said, I just kind of wanted to bring this to you all and suggest maybe looking to utilize our cancellation of agreement clause that's in this MOU agreement to essentially protect Brandy, and I would say even our future ability to maybe down the line go back to the college if it ever shows any viability. You know, in a manner that is respectable and understandable. So, in this MOU agreement, there's a section here, and I'll just read it to you guys. There's a section B, cancellation of agreement. It states, this agreement shall remain in full force and in effect for the entire term of agreement period stated above, unless canceled by either party by giving a 30-day written notice. BESRI shall continue to provide service for up to a 60-day transitional period in the event that they have issued an internal to withdraw. A cancellation notice shall be delivered by certified or registered mail the following address, and it lists the point of contact for the college. Our MOU was signed January 23rd, 2020. Our end date of this memorandum of understanding is 12/17/2022. Our proposed date to cancel would be 12/20/21. If we completed our responsibility of the MOU, the actual date of satisfaction would be January, roughly, depending on when they receive the letter, because the time starts on the date of receipt of letter, and it has to be sent, it has to be delivered, I believe, certified mail. So I'm thinking our 60-day date would be January 14th, 2022. Obviously, that's before the start of the new semester, and, you know, we could certainly pose the question if the date that we propose would be satisfactory. Again, certain things we just don't entertain the promotion to transfer list if it's not viable. So that's what we have to certainly keep in mind. If a facility is identified as not being viable between the operator and the field rep, right? Because essentially, let's face it, truth of the matter is Brandy could have done something wrong. Brandy could have, you know, not followed the recommendations in which we had set for her. Brandy, you know, could just do something in the of her heart that she just thinks is the absolute right way. However, if we've seen something that we can adjust that could correct what we find as a problem, then certainly we would identify that and bring that to the table. But this is not the case. Both Brandy and the field rep and myself, looking at the overall picture, do not see viability opportunity at this time. So I will leave it at that. And Chairman Roberts, you can weigh in on your thoughts and ask any questions.
Well, first of all, I think I did hear one tone of someone joining the call. So if someone else joined, please announce themselves.
It's Rich. I was I thought it was 3:30, and then when I got a text from Frank, and I said, "Oh crap, it is 3:00." So I ran back and jumped in. I didn't want to interrupt while Tyrell was going on. So
yeah, no worries. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this location has even run through the promotion and transfer without anybody taking it. So they're just like what happened at 165. Even if we don't take it, it's kind of like good luck finding someone that will take it. So I think we should move forward by trying to step away by that January 14th date. Does anyone have any discussion?
Well, I would play devil's advocate. Being in another community college, is this going to set some sort of a precedent going forward? You know how fragile the relationship is between BESBE and all of the community colleges as a whole. And I'm not saying that it's a viable option at all. I'm just hearing that it sounds like it's really not a good spot for Brandy or anybody for that matter for now. But it will be again. And I don't want to put us in a situation where we walk away from it and they put somebody in there for 5, 10 years, whatever. And we all come back to whatever normal is going to be, 80%, 90%, whatever it may be at some point in time, whether it be next September, the January after that. That's, I mean, I think realistic at best. I just don't want to put us in a position where we're out of a spot that, you know, somebody comes along that's perfect for that place, from Volk Rehab, and, you know, we could have said, well, you could have made $11,000, $12,000 because, you know, food prices going up, so our numbers have to go up as well. So I don't know if there's a way that we can protect ourselves, waive it temporarily, get her out of there so she's not losing money, and, you know, protect ourselves somehow to get it back once the economy does dictate. So I don't know if that's something that we can discuss.
Well, I think, let me just chime in real quick. I think the way the MOU